Fred Film Radio, il cinema ritrovato, Bologna, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 Il Cinema Ritrovato here in Bologna. I'm delighted to be back here, and it's a wonderful festival, and my first interview of this year's festival is Lisa Steinhaven. Thank you very much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So, Lisa, you're here for one specific reason, and we'll get to that later, and it has to do with Chaplin, so I'm very excited to talk about it. But first of all, I'd just like to kind of talk about a little bit about the festival and what you think of it.
I think it's a really unique festival in that all the films that are screened here are restored, and so that you know a lot of love and care has been placed into every film, and everybody who's introducing a film or taking part in a workshop, you know that those people are really very invested.
Right, and what, you know, I'm very curious about this because I remember the first time I came to Il Cinema Ritrovato, I had read about it for years on Sight and Sound, and you know, I actually got to the point where I never thought I would come here. But I'm wondering now, what was it like for you the first time you came here? Do you remember what it was like, and were you looking forward to it, excited about it?
It's actually changed quite a lot. I think my first year was 2006. And back in those days, it was really a very small event, and there was no place to have refreshments, or there was maybe only two or three venues.
Oh, yeah.
and maybe 150, 250 people. They still had the Piazza Maggiore events,
yeah.
But overall, it was very small. Everybody knew each other pretty much. And now, since they've gone to social media, it's become huge. And that's really great. They have so many places to see films and so many young people, which is wonderful.
Do you remember what the first film that really that you saw and you thought, wow, this is really special at Il Cinema Ritrovato was?
The Hulot with Tati.
Tati, yeah.
The one where he's on vacation, I can't remember
Le vacanze
the name.
Le vacanze de Monsieur
Hulot. That was really fantastic because everybody was singing the theme song when they walked back to the hotel. I mean, you could just tell everybody was just so moved by it, you know.
Oh yeah, that is a delightful film. Actually, there's going to be a Tati film screened. I think it's a short film that's going to be screened in this year's edition. So will you be going to that? Did you know?
Absolutely, yes.
So, anyways, let's get to Chaplin. You're here with a specific program. First of all, what is the title?
It's called Chaplin and the Beat Generation, which is a subset of some research I've done on the '60s, '50s and '60s on Chaplin in America.
Yeah. So and. Can you give us a brief overview?
Yes. Basically, what I've discovered over the years of my research is that many of the countercultural poets and artists like Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg and Lawrence Ferlinghetti really kind of identified with the Charlie Chaplin's Little Tramp character, who was, as we know, someone who always worked against authority figures and was very plucky and resilient, and also led a sort of a beat lifestyle like the Beats themselves like to espouse. So I found a lot of poetry that used little tramp character in it, and I'm just going to be talking about how he inspired the Beats, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can you give like a specific example of maybe a number of them? I'm very interested, because I'm also a fan of the Beat writers.
Right. So the first person really to take it up was Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who's now 98 and still living in San Francisco. He's the owner of the City Lights Bookshop, if you ever get to go there.
City Lights Bookshop.
Yes. It's a pocket. It's a paperback bookstore in North Beach in San Francisco, and it was the only place that would publish Ginsberg's Howl, which was a very controversial. They actually went to court to try to protect it. And so it's a really cool place. You have to go there. But Ferlinghetti looked at the little tramp character as a figure for the poet. And so he would place that character in his poems to stand in for himself. So one of his poems is called Constantly Risking Absurdity, and it's about an acrobat artist on a tightrope wire, which you may know from the circus. So he took the scene in the circus where Charlie's on the tightrope with the monkeys and built a poem around it about how absurd it is to think that you can write something that someone's going to like, you know. So it was about the absurdity of the audience and their accepting your work, pretty much.
You see, that's very interesting to me because I know that Chaplin, around the 60s, which I presume is the era that we're focusing on here, wasn't exactly doing the Little Tramp works. You know, he actually had kind of gone away from that. Right. And I actually did read the little introduction in the catalogue, you know, mm-hmm. and you mentioned the Monsieur Verdoux conference. I actually don't know much about it, but maybe you could kind of include it in the answer to my question, which very simply is, what was Chaplin doing at the time, and what was people's reaction to Chaplin's works at the time?
So I start my study in 47, which is when Monsieur Verdoux came out, and of course Chaplin was pilloried in a news conference at that point. And the only person that stood up for him was James Agee. You may have heard of James Agee.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first people to try to keep this sort of undercurrent of positivity about Chaplin alive in America, even while Chaplin was being torn down and eventually thrown out of the country. So the Beats kind of liked that sort of grittiness about Chaplin himself, and they applied that to his little tramp character. Now, the films were coming back, remember, in the 60s. He was releasing them slowly. The old film, so people were seeing them again,
right?
After many, many years, and so I think that's why they were in the consciousness of the Beats, you know.
Yeah.
Even though he was making talkies,
he was re-editing them as well, mm-hmm. and some versions are kind of still, you know, unseen in the originals.
Right, right, that's right.
So, anyways, again, just to go back to the Beat writers, and you mentioned Ginsberg and other people. Mm-hmm. It really does fascinate me. Do you have any other examples?
Allen Ginsberg is especially another person who's especially invested in this because he had a lot of things in common with Chaplin the man, including an insane mother. So they kind of connected on many levels.
Yeah.
And I found in the Indian Journals, it was called, a whole 3-page poem dedicated just to Chaplin and talking about his being thrown out of the United States and coming back to Hollywood and visiting as an old man, you know. It's a really moving poem. So
There's a lot really to discover. And
there is. There's a lot.
You wouldn't think so initially, but I kind of noticed it as well. I recently talked to a filmmaker from Switzerland, mm-hmm. Who is actually working on a film which uses some of the footage from Chaplin's works and puts them together with some of the footage that she shot on her own trip to Cuba while she was making another documentary. So mm-hmm. I guess Chaplin really does kind of is one of those figures that lends itself to the creativity of others.
Absolutely, yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think because the little character is somebody that everybody can kind of connect with some aspect of. I mean, if you watch The Kid, you know, you see the caringness and kind of motherliness of the character. So women are attracted to that, you know, and men are attracted to his ability to stand up to bullies and his carefreeness, you know, the fact that he's not attached to anyone kind of thing. And there's just multiple levels to the character, really.
Yeah, there's something that anyone can connect with. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I love about Chaplin, is he still speaks universally to people.
Right.
Now, it sounds very interesting, your program, and unfortunately, I myself won't be able to attend because I won't be in Bologna anymore, otherwise I would have been delighted to. As a final question, besides what you will be doing, is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing or experiencing?
Oh, boy, so many things. Seeing the brand-new restored Saturday Night Fever. I mean, what could be better?
I mean, you know? Yeah. I think that film is completely underrated in the history of cinema, but maybe it's being reevaluated, I think. Why do you like it?
I like it because I grew up with it. I mean, you know, it was so important to those of us who grew up in the 70s and 80s, you know.
Yeah, and you got to dig the music.
Absolutely.
You got to dig the Travolta moves as well.
Absolutely. He was brilliant.
Yeah. Talk about timeless, right?
Yes, timeless.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It was a real pleasure talking with you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.